I drank a whole lot of
Peel, man. I drank like twice as much.
Hold up, Tori.
All right, is everybody ready? Is this thing on? Give me some volume, Paul. I can't hear it. All right, it's Basement Comedy Show 6 now. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I made a board. I always make it happy. You can follow us. It has a hashtag and stuff. Nobody uses it. But if you take photos and shit, you put it on there. Bob played. We're on the internet. There's lots of fucking people here. I'm excited. I don't like. I wrote a bunch of jokes, but now I don't even want to use them. Like, how am I gonna stand up here and be like, "White Michael Jackson"? That's a thing, right?
Talk about Prince.
It just doesn't work. Like, I was talking earlier to my girlfriend about how I wanted to fuck her kneecaps, and she's kind of like a laid back chick. She was like, "Do it." And so, like. I went ahead and I started, and then I was like, that's way too good. I'm going to be like, I'm just going to be addicted to fucking kneecaps. Just following girls around like, hey, how you doing? How you fuck your kneecaps? We got three comedians tonight. We got T.M. Francis. We got Tim Danko. We got Jeremy Shear. We got Kevin Cappy here from the Grievance Club to play some songs later. We're going to hang out. We're going to have a good time. Use the hashtags. Post your photos. It's on YouTube. Tell everybody. Watch me at home. Hi, Mom. Shit like that. My girlfriend, her face is red, and she's the only black one in the room, and her face is just beet red. What's up, Paul? How you doing today? All right, let's bring up the first comedian, T.M. Francis. You ready to get up here? I love this cat. I love this guy so much.
Thank you very much. Give it up for Lousy Weather Media one more time for having this. Is this on? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
No, is it? All right, there we go. How you guys doing tonight? Good. I'm doing well. I had a birthday recently. I turned 30, so I'm feeling kind of old. I'm 30, but my girlfriend's only 21, which that's a sizable age difference. Some people say it's creepy. Especially when they find out we've been dating for 7 years. People wonder why I tell them to shut up when the ice cream truck comes around. It's not because I'm hungry. It's because they're playing our song. All right, good. Everybody drinking tonight? Having a good time? Of course, we're in a basement. Why not? I've been trying to drink less lately, which I think has made me notice liquor commercials more. Like, all advertising is dishonest, but liquor commercials really are a special form because their premises aren't even true. Like, the other day I saw one for a vodka, and the selling point was it's the world's smoothest tasting vodka. It's like, first of all, even if there was a such thing as smooth tasting vodka, saying I drink vodka for flavor is like saying I jerk off to cuddle with myself afterwards. It's a sweet thought, but it's just not accurate. And then what do they say at the end of every liquor commercial, no matter what kind of booze it is? Drink responsibly. And then it'll be like, brought to you by Jack Daniels. I'm pretty sure the reason Jack Daniels was invented is so that people can drink irresponsibly. Like, I don't know about you, but I've never had a responsible thought and a mouthful of whiskey at the same time. Like, I've never done a shot and been like, oh yeah, rent's due. Better put on a condom. And also, I just don't like the idea of liquor companies telling me to drink responsibly. That's like a heroin dealer telling you to use clean needles. It's like, back off, enabler. You've done your part. I'll take it from here. I was raised Catholic. Anybody else here? Shit. All right.
Yeah, Catholic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope. Only fish on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not really a big fan of it's sort of a bummer of the Christian religions. They've got a long list of stuff that they don't want you to do, and it all seems to have to do with sex. Like, they don't want you doing anything they consider unnatural, but they're against premarital sex, homosexuality, contraception, masturbation. The contraception thing is crazy to me. I feel like your stance, like you can't want people to not use condoms and then also be against abortion. That's like being pro-pencil but anti-eraser. Like, it doesn't make sense. And they even have strict rules for their own members, like nuns, priests, all the way up to the Pope. They have to take a vow of celibacy, which I think is sort of an antiquated notion. I think those people should be allowed to have sex, especially if you're the Pope. I mean, let's be honest. What is the point of dressing up like an Italian wizard if you can't use it to try and get laid? I feel like you could probably do pretty well for yourself with a Pope hat and a bulletproof car. And then of all the things that the church says is unnatural, everything I named, when Viagra came out, Catholics had questions, and the church said, yep, that's all right. Which, that's insane to me. It's like, you mean to tell me condoms are unnatural, but pharmaceutically raising your dick from the dead, like it's a veiny, purple-headed Frankenstein, that's okay? If anybody should know that older man erections lead to no good, it's the Catholic Church. I don't know why they got behind that one. I'm never taking boner pills, I'll tell you that right now. When my dick decides it's time to die, I'm going to respect its wishes. I don't want to have sex when I'm old anyways. That's disgusting. Elderly sex? Can you imagine what that smells like? Probably smells like, you know, regular sex plus your grandmother's basement. By basement, I mean vagina. Church is also against prostitution, which I think is... it's kind of weird because I did learn what prostitution was from the Bible, you know, because Jesus always defended that one, but... I think prostitution should be legal for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's the world's oldest profession. You're not going to stop people from doing it, so you may as well make it legal and regulate it for the people that choose to do it. It'll be safer that way. Number two, I think it's a matter of privacy. If someone wants to buy or sell sex, I don't think that's any of anybody's business. And thirdly, and this is just a personal theory, I believe that if prostitution were legal, school shootings would cease to exist. Hear me out. Who perpetrates all school shootings? Angry adolescent boys. Why are adolescent boys angry? Because they're not getting laid. I've been there. I started jerking off when I was 13. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 18. Those 5 years are the 5 years I was most likely to blow up a building. I mean, if you were to take any, just take the Columbine kids as an example. If they were still alive and you were able to ask them why they did what they did, they would say it was because they felt bullied and ostracized. But in reality, it's because they weren't getting laid. I mean, if prostitution were legal and those kids were getting state-sanctioned, moderately priced hand jobs from trained professionals on the weekend, they would have never gone through with it. Because sex eases tension. The kid that puts a bomb in the library and the one that's having a secret affair with the English teacher are never the same dude. There's a reason for that. I mean, let's be honest. If there was just one slutty goth girl there that morning that would have been willing to fuck those two trench coat wearing idiots in the parking lot, they never would have gone through with it. Because pussy will stop you from achieving your dreams. Alas, there was no slutty goth girl there that morning. There are never enough. But I just feel like if they would have been able to get that out, you know, they wouldn't have had to... The church also fears condoms, which is really weird. Like, I went to a Catholic high school where if they caught you with condoms, it was basically the same thing as, like, getting caught with drugs. You'd get suspended and shit. But then I went to a state college, which their stance was totally the opposite. It's like, oh, you want condoms? Just go over to Health and Human Services. They're free. They've got them in a big bowl like your grandmother used to have Werther's Originals on the coffee table. I don't understand the fear of... I went to a CVS the other day. I was waiting for a prescription to get filled, and I wandered down the little sex aisle there, and the condoms were locked up. But the lube wasn't. And neither was the Extends or, like, that vitamin you rub on your dick to make you last all night. Like, of all the products that were there for sex, condoms are the only thing designed to make sex safer and cleaner, and they're behind glass. That'd be like, imagine if you went to a buffet and everything is out, but the napkins are under lock and key. So now you have to get a CVS employee to... How much more awkward can the condom-buying transaction be? every single, whenever I go to buy condoms, I always only need that, but I always grab something else too, because for some reason in my head that looks more normal. Like, oh, the condoms are just a coincidence. I was really here for a new bathroom scale. I want to see how much less I weigh after sex. Or how much more I weigh with a condom. One and a half ounces. I saw a used condom in a handicap spot the other day, and I was like, hey, I thought they're only allowed to park there. The church is also against... All right, this is where it might get a little dicey, but Shear's closing the show, so... All right, you guys might know what I mean in a minute. The church is also against abortion. Now, my parents live down the street from a Planned Parenthood, and whenever I go to visit them, I pass by. And whenever I pass that place, there are protesters, as long as it's warm outside. Which should tell you how strongly they feel about their convictions. Like, this is murder until it hits October. And in all the times I've ever passed by that place, I've never seen an attractive protester, male or female. And I'm just saying, it's a lot easier to be judgmental about abortion when nobody wants to fuck you. But every time I pass by that place, I can't help but think the same thing. Do you think the dumpsters outside Planned Parenthood are haunted? I mean, in theory, they should be just as haunted as any place else where a lot of people have died. Like, any place people have died, I've heard of haunted versions of those places. Hotels, hospitals, jails. But I've never heard of a haunted abortion clinic. Which can only lead me to believe that fetuses don't have souls to leave behind. And doesn't that solve the abortion debate right there? Because that's what it's about if you're pro-life. It's not about women's rights. It's about whether or not you're killing someone. Well, if they don't have a soul, you ain't killing them. And let's be honest, I can never have an actual person killed for only $350. Like, you can't put a hit on your first credit card. All right, thank you guys very much. I hope you have a good rest of your evening.
TM. TM motherfucking Francis. I seen that dude in a club one time, and he was like, my dick looks like Donald Trump. And I was like, I'm sold. You're the funniest fucking dude around. Tim Danko's next. Tim Danko's a funny guy. I had him. He came over when Paul wasn't, because he doesn't like Paul. So that is really akin to my heart, because I really don't like Paul either. Tim Danko, come on, man. Let's do some jokes.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm the slutty goth girl for the evening. You guys, I figured I was going in a basement, but I put on my clean sweater. And so we do it. I love being in a basement that isn't my mom's. It's good. So I'll tell you guys some stuff about me. I lost like 70 pounds. Oh, wait. That's right. You should clap. Yeah, you should. It wasn't easy, you know? I grew up a fat kid, which was hot. And I got made fun of in high school and whatnot. Didn't stop me, though, asking the hottest girl out in school my senior year of high school, hot cheerleader. My friends were like, dude, don't do that. That's going to end bad. Yeah, they were right. But anyway, I did it. And I mustered up all my confidence. I walk up to her, and I start talking to her. And halfway through my sentence, I swear, she stops me. She goes straight, Valley Girl. She just goes, wait. Are you asking me out? Because you're, like, fat. Bitch. Who says that to somebody? Really? I didn't know what to do. I was already nervous to begin with, and now she said that. I didn't know what to say. So the first thing that popped in my head was, yeah, that's why we should go out. We have something in common. That's what you get. I guarantee that cheerleader purrs herself to sleep that night. I guarantee it. Oh. It's great. Actually, best part of that is I saw her like over last Thanksgiving. She looks terrible. Yeah. Karma done got you, girl. Karma done got you. She's like bigger than me. I'm not joking. She's like 240. She's like three kids of four different dudes. It's bad. It's bad. Bad stuff. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I still would, though. Still would. Absolutely. Mmm. You know, I did lose some weight. I did do that. But thank the Lord above. Got to keep my stretch marks. What up, ladies? Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. Those things are great. I'm pretty sure, though, with the stretch marks, the only girls that can pick up shirtless are girls at a Harry Potter convention. All right, stay with me, okay? Because any girl who's into one dude with one lightning bolt scar on his forehead... What up, girl? I got 67 of them around this gushy torso. What up? Let's make magic happen. Did I do that? I had a smoke bomb in my pocket the whole time. I don't know if you guys noticed that. That was part of it. Stretch marks are fun. You should guys, if you haven't had them, you should try it. It's great. It's great when your eating habits become too big for your own skin. What size skin do you wear? I don't know, but apparently I wasn't given it. This is just stretching out. I dated a girl one time. She had a child, so she also has stretch marks. And I thought that was going to last forever because, no joke, when we pushed our stomachs together, our stretch marks made the map to El Dorado. Let's go find out some gold. Let's do it. That's fun. Mm. Also, I have Tourette's syndrome. Anybody know what that is? Anybody have a taste of that sweet pie ever, huh? Tourette's syndrome. When I say that, people are in comedy shows are like, oh, sweet! He's going to shout out around curse words and stuff. It's going to be awesome. Sorry to disappoint you. That's not the kind of Tourette's I have. I twitch. And no joke, when I tell people that, they get pissed at me. For not having the Tourette's they want me to have. For real, one of my buddies one time told me, he's like, dude, you trying to tell me you got Tourette's, but you ain't got the cool Tourette's? What the hell, man? Why don't you shout out some curse words and shit? I'm like, I can wiggle for you. I don't know. I mean, do you have a beverage that needs shaking? Just put it in my hand. We'll be fine. But I make noises and stuff too, or whatever. I go, I guess, sometimes. I still do it to this day. And when people ask me what it is, I'm just like, yo, you never heard of beatboxing, motherfucker? I rub my face sometimes too. People think like, oh man, that guy's on drugs, man. He's rubbing his face. You know, and I do it even when I'm not on drugs, so that makes me mad. You're like, oh man, what's wrong with you? Keep rubbing my face. What is this? What is this you're doing, man? I'm like, bro. Just trying to tell you to steal third base. Huh? Get with the program. Huh? Baseball joke. Just kidding. It was baseball. That's one of the, I like that. It's a sport, you know? And but when I try to explain like the twitchiness to people, it's kind of hard. I don't know how to explain it. So I just started telling people that I'm pretty twitchy to the point where I'm pretty sure I'm the only person on earth who would lose to Muhammad Ali in a coloring contest. You know, because Parkinson's, you know? You know, say what you will, because my grandpa has Parkinson's, and he wrote that joke for me. And every time I see him, I'm like, Grandpa, how are you? He's like, I'm good, Tim, how are you? My grandpa, we're going to get this handshake down. Damn right we are! We shake hands, and Angel gets his wings. Pimple ginger teenager gets laid. I don't know. It doesn't happen that often. It's great. But so one time I told that joke about Muhammad Ali, and the guy got mad at me, and he's after the show. He comes, dude, you shouldn't say that joke about Muhammad Ali, man. He was a great fighter. And although he's old and he has Parkinson's now, I guarantee he can still kick both our asses. I'm like, you're right, dude. He could. It just wouldn't be on purpose. Bro, I didn't see that punch coming. Dude, neither did he. Neither did he. Grandpa wrote that joke too, guys. It's cool. It's fine. It's fine. Actually, you know, if you donated money to Michael J. Fox's Parkinson's Foundation, they give you a bunch of Parkinson jokes for free. So you guys can go ahead and do that. Yeah, it's good. And that's part of the donation. It's good. It's a good place, you know. You're shaky. More shaky than me. It's cool. That's, so I've been dating. Ish, kind of, sort of. Okay, I haven't been dating, but anyway, that's not the point. I've been online dating, which if you haven't had that slice of heaven either, you should try that out, because it's just, it makes you want to kill yourself. But anyway, I've gotten to the point where I get on dating websites, and I wrote this giant profile about what I'm looking for in a perfect woman, like really down to the most meticulous detail what I'm looking for in a perfect girl. And then at the bottom, all right, or best offer. Yeah, because the only girls who talk to me on those sites are the ones with more kids than teeth. I wish I was joking. I'm not. No joke, I actually dated a girl for a minute who was missing the vast majority of her teeth. Yeah, I tell people that, they're like, oh, that's gross. That's gross. I'm like, nope. Awesome. Why? I'll let you think about it. Can you do? No, I don't think I'd tell any dude in this room the advantages of dating a girl with no teeth. Hey, right, fellas? Yeah. The like two of those were on purpose. The other ones were the Tourette's. The ass. It's not my fault. But you know what I'm saying? Because a girl with no teeth always has pudding at her house. I love me some pudding. I'll always be a fat kid at heart. Love pudding. Like, literally, my arteries are clogged to shit. You know, it's just, always has pudding, and she has no teeth. And she sucks a mean dick, too. I don't know if I should have mentioned that one or not. It's just the thing that happened, you know? Here's a date story. One of my favorite dates I ever went on. Because I know you guys were asking. I heard someone say it. Anyway, it was a year or two ago. I don't know when. I was going to the movies with this girl, right? And I had to take a pee. So during the previews, I go out to the restroom. And this old black dude in the cane comes walking around the corner and limps to me. And he stops me. And he goes, yo, my man. Where James Brown at? That was an extremely unique question. I've never been asked that one before. What I didn't know at the time is that's when that movie Get On Up, the James Brown biopic, came out. So that's what he was talking about. But I didn't know that. So, like, me freaking out in just panic mode, first thing that came to my mouth was, well, you know, sir, I like to think that there's a little bit of James Brown in all of us. And I sprinted back to the theater. I didn't even pee. And it was weird. They were watching the previews, me and this girl I'm on a date with. And one comes up, Jimmy Fox, Hard Knock Life starts playing. I'm like, I know what this is. They're rebooting Annie. Okay, just a little cute little black girl. Okay, rebooting Annie. Okay, cool. Then the title comes out, coming soon, Annie. Then all of a sudden in the theater, you hear this voice scream, can we have anything? It's fucked up. I'm not gonna lie. I laughed. That was what I did. And probably what was more messed up than that is the girl I was with right after that. She just goes, Tim, you can't say that. I did say that. True story. Most of these are true stories. They're all true stories. I did say that. And she's like, there's black people in this theater. And I'm one of them. I'm like, I'm aware. And so is everyone that follows me on Instagram. Completely aware. But she's like, there's a guy over there. He stands up. I think he knows it was you. He looks like he's going to kill you. I'm like, listen, Bill. There's a little bit of James Brown in all of us. Nobody wants to go down as a guy who killed even this much of the funk. You know what I'm saying? That's great. Got stood up for cheese one time. Anybody else? Probably a pretty common occurrence. We have a support group. We meet on Wednesdays. You can talk to me later. Anyway, no joke. I was supposed to meet this girl, and she didn't show up. And I'm like, hey, what's up? She's like, oh, you know what? I was going to come out and hang out with you tonight, but then I remembered I had smoked Gouda cheese, and I just ended up eating that instead. I'm like, what? Did I just get stood up for cheese? Like, you know how shitty you feel for getting stood up for cheese? Until you think, you know what? Smoked Gouda is fucking delicious. It really is. I'm not worth smoked Gouda losing. I'm not. Smoked Gouda is the best. It's fantastic. Also, another day where I was just basically, we were walking around town, me and this girl. And we were walking, and I was living in Canton at the time, which if you haven't walked down downtown Canton for a day, you should do it. It's the best. It's great. I mean, wear your Kevlar, but it's, you know, it's a fun time. So we're walking around, and these guys were, like, stopping in their cars in the streets and, like, screaming at this girl, like, what up, girl? What you doing, boo? And I'm like, I'm with her. You not notice that? Like, they kept doing it. He's like, they're like, you want to go out sometime? I'm like, I'm holding her hand. I don't know. So I figured either I'm completely invisible, which would be a childhood dream. Or this just screams gay best friend. Any other? Not quite sure. Invisibility, childhood dream. Everybody else?
Yeah.
It wasn't my number one. My number one was to not be fat and have Tourette's syndrome. People ask, like, oh man, did you get made fun of when you were young? I'm like, of course I did. I was a fat 10-year-old with Tourette's syndrome. It was undiagnosed until I was 17. Of course I did. Because I should. I should get made fun of for that. That's why the Lord put me here on earth. So some 8-year-old who just parents just got divorced and he thinks, oh, it's my fault. It's my fault. Hey, look, a fat twitchy kid. Ha, boo. Boo. Life isn't so bad. Boo. It's okay because it made me, you know, get a sense of humor and wit. And then later on, I fucked that guy's girlfriend. So, you know, that only happened once, but it happened. And so that's the thing. Yeah. She used to be a cheerleader in high school. She has like 4 kids, 3 different dudes. That's the thing that happened. Yeah, no joke, though. I honestly didn't get diagnosed with Tourette's. Like, I have telltale signs. It's a pretty common case of it, right? But I didn't get diagnosed until I was 17, which sucked. And my mom, Lord bless her, like, she's the only one that believed me that I wasn't doing that stuff on purpose. And finally, a doctor figured it out, man. A neurologist. Who would have thought to go to a neurologist? Who would have thought? But yeah, when I get diagnosed, the doctor's like, he's like, yeah, what you have is you have Tourette's syndrome. You also have excessive compulsive disorder and ADHD. But the way he said it to me, he's like, but you know what? It's just like a triangle. It's a normal triangle, you know? Triangles aren't so bad. Then he said, looks like a pizza pizza. You like pizza, don't you? So not only did he just, like, throw this bomb of the neurological disorders I'm going to live with the rest of my life, he also threw in calling me fat. So what a great doctor he was. You want some more ice cream, Twitchy? I did. I did want ice cream. I did. My mom was confused. She didn't really know what Tourette's syndrome was either, and really, you know. So when I was, we were told that, my mom, she's a doctor, she's like, that's what the twitching is, Tourette's? That's what Tourette's is? He's like, yeah, that's what it is. And she looks at the doctor, Renee, and she goes, so you're trying to tell me he got Tourette's, but he ain't got the cool Tourette's? What the hell? I haven't talked to my mom in like 10 years. I mean, we live together, but we don't talk, you know. Oh, man. Yeah, okay, cool. So, like I said, I was a fat kid. I got made fun of in high school and whatnot. So I had to find a way to combat that in high school. And I was a big dude, so I do what most big dudes do to combat getting made fun of when they're in high school. I joined choir. Gangsta was shit. Yeah, that's me. I did, and I loved it. I loved it. Because I'm not cool, but I live in the middle, New Philadelphia, out of Tuscarora County, right, middle of nowhere, white kids, all white kids mostly, right? And my junior year of high school, my choir director thought we sing songs a little bit different, has a lot of rich history. It's a song they call A Negro Spiritual. Okay. That was my reaction, too. Yeah. Yeah, 30 white kids from the cornfield, Negro Spiritual. Are you serious? I mean, look at this. The song was called Going Up to Glory, right? It was arranged by a guy named Andre J. Thomas, which I feel like should have been the first red flag. But either way, we look at this, we're like, are you serious? We have to sing this? Like, she didn't understand why we felt uncomfortable singing this, us 30 white kids. But for a treat for you guys, because I like you guys so much and I like basements. And I sing like a freaking angel. I'm going to sing you part of this song. No joke, my whole choir, 30 white kids, we sang all over the place, Going With the Glory, my junior year of high school, went like this, so you can understand why we felt weird about it. Sun up to sundown, picking that cotton. I know I was there. Sun up to sundown, work for the master, with an A at the end of master. It was written ER in the sheet music, but honestly, according to my choir director, if we used an A instead of the hard ER, it wouldn't be racist. Welcome to my life. Sun up to sundown, chains and shackles, no more auction block for me. Which is a relief, because us 30 oppressed white kids from the middle of nowhere, we're sick and tired of that auction block. We were. So thank goodness. We had to sing this song everywhere, all over the place. I went on tour to Chicago, like the real Chicago, like the city, not the white band. You know, real Chicago. We just sing this in the streets. And you see 30 terrified white kids in tuxes and dresses. It's like, sun up to sundown, chains and shackles. Lord, I hope nobody murders me. Because we would have deserved it. We would have. The best story of this is we had a state contest, right? And it was at a inner city school. But they had a really nice auditorium. And again, according to my choir director, that this meant one of their alumni was in the NBA. She's a racist bitch. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, she was right. It was Eric Snow. Eric Snow went to that school. When we're singing this, and she's like, all right, we're going to sing With the Glory. And we're like, no, we're not. She's like, yes, we are. And we had to, and we start singing it. And the best is there's a kid from the homeschool choir, like, sitting in the front row. And this kid's a big black kid. He's like 6'4", like 250, big afro. He looked like Questlove on steroids. Like, this kid's jacked up as fuck. We start singing this song, and I'm no joke, this is the kid's reaction. Sun up to sundown, picking that cotton. Work for the master. And I swear, when we get the no more auction block from me, he gets up. You can just see him lip. those honking motherfuckers. It takes off in the back of the auditorium. But don't worry, he came back with the rest of his choir. And you see a choir of inner city school kids with their arms crossed looking at us real pissed off with mad attitude. Yeah, they look like the choir from Sister Act 2. Before Whoopi Goldberg put the music in their hearts. So, you know what I'm saying? So we finish the song and the place just falls dead silent. Then all of a sudden from the back of the auditorium, you hear a voice yell, "Can't we have anything?" That was a callback from a joke I did before. There's no that history. Speaking of music, who likes rap music? Anybody? You like rap music? Yeah. It's good, yeah. I hate it. It's not my fault. I used to like it. My cousin ruined it for me. Mainly because he thinks he's going to be a rapper. Yeah, not going to happen. A couple different reasons. Number one, he has a speech impediment. I'm laughing because he does, and it's hilarious. Every time I tell this joke, I'm just like, and it happened. And it happened. Because no one wants to jam to the rap groove that starts out like, "Everybody weighs the wolf. Twinkie twinks in the club. Going on a wager. I said to go a woofie." I didn't condone that lyric. I didn't. I love him because he makes me look great. As far as the family goes. He's also, like, very pale. Extremely pale. Like, he has a rap name he uses for his mixtapes, which I heard are fire. But if people ask me, what's his rap name? I'm just like, I don't know. I think it's MC Cream Cheese. I'm not sure. I just didn't tell him. But he tells me every day, and I text, he's like, "Yo, man, I'm going to make it happen, man. This rap thing, I'm going to make it happen." It's not going to happen. And, recently, my uncle gives him his old creepy van, right? Because he didn't have a car. When we were kids, we were like, "Man, if you ever get your dad's van, we need to paint it like the Mystery Machine, like Scooby-Doo." You know what I'm saying? So he gets it. He's like, "Yo, Tim, I got the van." I'm like, "Oh, cool. Would you paint it like the Mystery Machine?" He's like, "No, man. Something better." I'm like, "I doubt that, cream cheese." All right, so he pulls up. This is in my house, and this van, I swear, it's painted like four different shades of shit brown. And it's all squiggly. It looked like it was finger painted by a nervous toddler. Or me with Tourette's or whatever. Either way. You guys remember I have Tourette's? Yeah, so there's that. And on the side, he wrote in big white letters. He's like, "Check out what I wrote." He reads it to me. He's like, it says, "The rapper wagon. I'm going to make it happen." And this is the ugliest van I ever saw in my life. But like I said, he's my cousin, and I love the kid to death. So I didn't have the heart to tell him that rapper is spelled with two P's. So in case you didn't catch on, so my cousin, if you didn't know him, he's the dude driving around town in this van that says, "The Raper Wagon, I'm going to make it happen." And I swear he says to me, "Yo, Tim, but way better than the Mystery Machine, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, cuz, there's no mystery at all. What's going to happen inside of that van?" Thank you guys so much. Yeah. My name is Tim Danko. Thank you, Laz and Weather Media. You guys are great. Enjoy Jeremy. Have a good night.
Tim Danko. Your Tourette superhero. All right, the whole point of this setup tonight was I wanted to design what I imagined Jeremy Shear's teenage bedroom to look like, is what it was. That was the whole idea here. I wanted, with everything that happened this week, I just wanted to take a second to thank all of you guys for surviving. Because everybody's fucking dead. Did anybody notice that? I mean, everybody died. Didn't everybody die this week? Everybody's dead, man. You guys survived. Good job. I wanted to tell everybody that. All right, let's bring up Jeremy Shear. What's this?
Oh, thank you. You did a pretty good job. I did have wrestling figures and comic book shit in my teenage bedroom and an iguana. And a whole bunch of weed. So this is, I've lived in too many basements, so this feels kind of like home to me. I live in basements because, like, people are like, we need extra money for rent, but, like, you look like you should live behind the gas station, so basement's where you belong. So, before we get started, I gotta get a couple things clear. Have you guys ever been so high that you figure out why it's illegal? That's where I'm at right now. There are always consequences when you do too many drugs. Like, you do too much heroin, you die. You do too much acid, you fall into an alternate reality where everything you know is a lie. You smoke too much pot, you think you shit your pants for 2 hours because your asshole feels weird. There's one other thing you should like, I feel I can ask this question here. Have you guys ever been eating ass and you stick your tongue in a little bit just to let them know there's something bigger coming later? And you get shit on the tip of your tongue and you have to pretend not to taste it? That's what it's like listening to me talk. So be prepared. I am the dirtiest comic in Cleveland, not because of my jokes, because there's like 5 reasons why I itch right now. One of those reasons is I made sweet love to Tim Danko's twitchy bitch tits. It was a particularly bad time for him, so he didn't shower. But like, I'm a lot of people's only token Jewish friend. I know I don't look Jewish. I don't look like I own a business. The only job it looks like I'm qualified for is assistant manager at Guitar Center. But I get a lot of questions like, Jeremy, should we circumcise our kid? Which sounds like a perfectly logical question to ask me, but to me it kind of sounds like, Jeremy, you're an expert on kid dick. What should we do with it? I tell them all the same thing. Like, go to, there's a house in Kenmore, Ohio, which I used to live in. Which, if you're not familiar with Kenmore, living there is pretty much a step up from sucking cock for soup space in Slavic Village. It's the worst. It's a meth neighborhood. I can't pick up any women there because I don't know if they have too many cats or live below a meth lab. It's the same smell. You know it's a meth. You know it's a meth neighborhood because all the carts at the Family Dollar were scrapped. All of them, and they were plastic. It's meth ingenuity. But there's a house in Kenmore, and there's a guy with 2 toddlers that lives there. And I want you to go visit, because all day while they're watching TV, those 2 toddlers reach into their diapers, pick up a big wad of dick cheese, and eat it. And I want you to ask yourself, are you that committed to your kid dick health? Make sure that never happened. Or is that just recycling and it's fine? I think it's recycling, but it's fine. But the other question, the other thing I tell people, like, should we circumcise our kid? Like, if you're going to do it, don't go too Jewy with it. Like, don't, because there are people of my faith that still think it's okay to let rabbis put their mouth on kid dick and suck up the blood after the circumcision. And now there's a bunch of babies with herpes. There is, because, you know, when you decide you're going to make your career sucking off kids, like, you make some bad decisions. So you end up with herpes. I did a lot of shitty jobs before I did this. I worked at a bank. And I had to quit, and my teller told me, oh, I wish you had told me sooner so I'd give you a proper send-off. Then she grabbed my dick like a naughty school child. I know it seems like it couldn't happen, but I assure you, in Youngstown, I'm like an 8. So, but I couldn't do anything with her. I had a girlfriend, but it is really difficult for a Jewish guy to resist a girl who smells like money. It's everything I wanted right there. I used to work at a video store. I can't tell you the name of it because they inadvertently paid for Hanukkah for like 3 years. But it rhymes with cocksucker video. And I worked there for a while. The customers were really fucked up. Like, some guy came in and put a laptop on the counter and says, excuse me, you guys sell these kind of DVDs? And I look, and it's a dog going down on an Asian girl. which like made me wonder if Asians taste like peanut butter, and that's how that happened. But we didn't have movies like that, but I recommended a Tyler Perry movie because it's the same artistic merit. I think he went home happy. I had to work a gas station, third shift. It is the first time in my life that I have ever been mooned. Some guy showed me his asshole because we didn't have hot dogs at 4 o'clock in the morning. Here's a bad idea. Don't show him why the hot dogs aren't ready by trying to stick one up his ass. Because an uncooked hot dog will just break right when it touches his asshole. And you're left with a knuckle on his taint staring at him. I wish I was kidding. They fired me the next day. I'm getting really sick of like this weather change because soon it's not going to be jacket weather. And when you wear a jacket and it's nice out, people assume you're hiding something. And I am. I'm hiding all the reasons I'm out of shape. Don't look at me. Like, it's really bad. Like, the only healthy life decision I've made is today. I was like, you know what? Switching to light beer. This will help everything. I grew up fat like Tim. And it was not good because, like, I doubled down on being fat. All my clothes were too tight. I wore makeup. I look like some old biker kept me in a basement groomed as his fuck doll for 12 years. It was not good. And I wore a trench coat everywhere. So I was that kid, and that was right when Columbine happened. So, I had dropped out by that point, but because I make great decisions, but I went back to the day after that happened. I was like, hey, you're not going to arrest any of my friends, are they? You know, we're not like that. And they're like, no. Meanwhile, my ex-girlfriend is in the parking lot getting arrested because she had a shotgun in her trunk. I'd like to think it's because I drove her that crazy, but she came out and had embroidered me something because that's what they teach you to do there. It's in the mental hospital. It's pretty great. I once had to go to a mental hospital because I was hallucinating and I didn't take anything for it, so it was bullshit. Like, it would be one thing if I did too much acid and it was like still going. Nope, there's nothing. I had to go. The thing that sent me over the edge, it wasn't the My Little Pony and the Care Bear spelling out kill your friends in the snow. That's not what did it. I was just like, I need to get off the internet. But it was, I took a shit and there was a message for me, as all messages to me are, written in shit. Spelled out, R.I.P. fag in the toilet. Like, I know how my butt would know I'm gay, but how does it know I'm gonna die? So I went to the mental hospital. They gave me drugs, and I'm kind of all better now, like somewhat. Like, there's still like a part of me that's really paranoid that Tim Danko's a cop. Well, he's an umpire, and that's pretty close to being a baseball cop. So, yeah. Like, I have two. I have too many crazy thoughts. And, like, I tried online dating for a while because when I lived in Kenmore, like, that was my only options. But, like, the problem was every girl that messaged me had the same question. I don't know if this is a thing or if this is just what girls that think I'm attractive think about, but it always, what's your zombie apocalypse survival strategy? Like, every girl's just looking for someone that's going to save them from the zombies. And I was just like, what makes you think I want to survive? I can't wait to be a zombie. My life will have structure for the first time. I already have the teeth for it. It's perfect. Jesus Christ, woman, I'm on heroin. It's like one step away from that. It's like, shit, man. Like, it was like, I'm not the guy in the action movie that saves all the people. I'm the guy that eat that guy's brains. That's what I can't wait. That was one tag too many, stupid. super proud of that too. Yeah. Let's talk about politics, because we're in a basement, and that seems like the thing to do. I noticed something, guys. There is no porn parody of Hillary Clinton out there. None. They do not exist. So I don't understand that, too, because, you know, Sarah Palin got him out pretty quick. Like, there's someone that the entire reason that she's rich is because she looks like Sarah Palin. And that's not going to... So we have a chance to elect a president that nobody has jerked off to. If you wait for Elizabeth Warren, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. Not sure. Like, I was, like, really worried about supporting her, like, because I don't want to have to pretend to like Bill Clinton. I don't, because, like, he's like the white Cosby. Like, he did a bunch of terrible shit to women, but he was also a pretty good president, so we're not allowed to talk about it. Like, but just like Cosby had Leonard Part 6, which was a disaster, like, Bill Clinton had NAFTA, so we could talk all the shit we want. I don't want him back in the White House. But, you know, I don't know if I want to see Hillary Clinton fuck, actually, because I'm pretty sure that she learned from focus groups how to fake an orgasm. Like, the real reason I supported Bernie Sanders is without socialism, I'm not get paid for this. So, like, go, Bernie, go. I was really pissed when he lost, though. Like, I was so pissed. Like, every time somebody at the bus stop bummed a cigarette from me, I was like, did you vote for Bernie Sanders? They were like, no, they didn't get a cigarette. Because you don't get to choose when socialism works for you, asshole. There's nothing on the Republican side for me at all. There's nothing. They've taught me things. Like, John Kasich taught me, like, people will forget you're a cunt if you're polite. They just forgot. Like, he's a cunt, but he's the moderate guy. Fantastic. And Ted Cruz looks like the only time he's ever made a lady wet is when he spit on a homeless woman. I mean, you know, I would vote for the Orange Goblin, but... He's exactly like Hulk Hogan. Like, he's the best they got, but he's orange and kind of racist, so... It's whatever. I have to take the bus a lot. My dick's a lot like the bus. No one will look me directly in the eye when they're on it. I have more of those. My dick is like my drug problem that comes out far too often in front of my family. My dick is like a virgin's tampon coated in the blood of the innocent. Aww. This next one. Maybe not, I don't know yet. But here's the thing, like, I have to ride the one in Cleveland, and I know you're not familiar with the numbers, but just any place you hear shouted out Bone Thugs and Harmony, like, you can visit on the one. It's pretty great. Like, it's basically a bunch of people standing around waiting for me to be racist every day. Which doesn't happen, but weird shit happens to me on that plus. Like, we were going past the Crazy Horse Saloon one time, and there was an interracial lesbian couple out, making out. They were just going at it outside the strip club, which happens. But that bus went insane. Headphones are being thrown off. Oh, Lord, they're going to hell. What is wrong with these people? Until this one guy at the front of the bus turned around to address the mobs, his dreadlocks flowing in the air conditioning. Freshly carved prison tattoos peeking out from underneath his work shirt, showing off his ebony skin. This Adonis addressed him. He was like, it's 2016. Get used to it, niggas. And I'm like, holy shit, that's the most progressive use of the N-word I've ever heard in my life. Cleveland's going to be okay. Guys, it's okay for me to use that word. I'm a racist. It's kind of our word. Everybody was like, we agreed with you until right there. Just fine. I get it. Not the weirdest thing that happened to me on the bus. I was just standing there minding my own business, and I felt a hand grab my ass, and I heard, girl, you bold? I was like, somebody lose a bet? What the fuck is going on? So I turned around and locked eyes with the wild, yellow-eyed stare of a crackhead. Shit, my hobo disguise has failed. She thinks I have money. I didn't know what to do except take her home and fuck her unprotected because I'm a Jew and can't resist the savings. It was $10. I can't even get a girl to touch my penis for $10, so this was great. But that left me with a problem. Like, how do I get rid of her? She can't stay the night. Like, she's going to steal something. So what I was trying to be nice about it. What I did is I pulled out and finished my hand and went, no, you can't have this. This is mine. No, 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 no. She left. But I learned I really need to change my diet because I tasted like somebody dipped an Oreo cookie in bleach. It was really bad. This has been a really weird week for me. I had to visit my mother in the nursing home and do a show there. And she was heckling me the whole time. Who would hire you, you monster? That's why I do this joke at the beginning of my set, usually. Like, oh, we believe that. No. You can't be in public. But she was heckling me the whole time. She's like, get off this stage. Who are you? I'm like, Mom, it's me. It's your son. Who? The guy that brings you pot. Your bags are full of seeds. Fuck you. I had to put my mother in a nursing home because prior to that, I was responsible for her care, which meant I had to bathe her. And there is nothing more traumatizing to a young man than washing the parts that you came from. I didn't know what to say except, like, what you done with the place, Mom? I dealt with it how any other rational person would. I did a shit ton of drugs before I gave my mom a shower. A lot. Like one time, I took one too many Percocets and I passed out with the shower wand a little too close to my mom's crotch. Guys, if you've never made your mom come, don't do it. They're like dogs. They'll start asking for it in front of polite company. They'll be like, Jeremy, do you remember that time in the shower? Mom, it didn't mean anything. I was on drugs. So is every other man in my life. Now get me off. That's why she's in a one-star nursing home, because she's a dirty girl. One of the perks of being in a one-star nursing home is when I visit her, I get to see a guy being dragged to the shower and his asshole is dragging behind him. It looks like he has a tremor trying to escape. That's just out there in the hallway for everybody to see, so great. Another time I went to visit her, and there was a guy with a helmet and a diaper and a tube sticking out of his stomach getting the shit kicked out of him on the ground. And I was like, what's going on? Are you guys training to be cops? And they were like, no, we can't shoot this guy up with drugs because he'll die. So this is like the only way we can get him to stop. Like, this is a therapeutic beating? I want to do this. They didn't let me. I was really sad. It's the only time I've seen a therapeutic beating. I've seen sexy beatings, but not therapeutic beatings. But it's not all bad for my mom in the nursing home. She did find love. She found the one guy in there with Parkinson's and trigger finger. So, like, everything is okay. And now my mom squirts. We
Which is the sexiest way of saying she still wets the bed a lot? Actually, those jokes are all out of date. My mom's dead. Her last words were... They hated that joke at the funeral. So I have a 17-year-old girl at home, and I know what you're thinking. You let her go! She is my daughter, and I know what you're thinking. You'd want to breed with this asshole. Is he capable of breeding? He looks like the poster child for type 2 diabetes and erectile dysfunction. If he was even able to successfully copulate a lady, his jizz would run out of her like a salty river of shame, impregnating nothing. And you're right, she's adopted. Those adoption agencies don't do a thorough background check. They're just like, smile. You have meth teeth. You're going to sell this child. The white slavery market is not great. I checked. But she gets in trouble at school all the time. I have to go to parent-teacher conferences. The last one was because she taped a sign on a little girl's back that said, "Ask me about my fat ass." I was so proud. She was only a sophomore and bullying at a senior level, so. Great. But, you know, they say the same thing every time. "Mr. Shear, we think your kid has ADD. No, in my house, ADD is slang for lazy teacher. Have you tried yelling at her? Hit her. My dishes are done. Why isn't her classwork? What I'm saying, guys, is you got to beat your kids. But stop immediately if it feels good. If it feels too good, get therapy. Like, you should never be hitting a child with a boner. But I realize, you know what, if my kid gets diagnosed with ADD, that means she's going to get some medication. Yeah, so now my daughter has ADD, and I got a big pile of Adderall. That's how I'm getting home tonight. Because that's a cheat code. Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA. Start new DUI. But, you know, my kid came out this year, which was fucking awesome. Because what's the one thing you worry about having a teenage daughter? No, not that she's going to get kidnapped. If she's with me, people think she's already kidnapped. So it's fine. But it's that she's going to get pregnant and fuck everything up. And that's not going to happen because my kid likes girls. Well, it might happen. Like, if she dates a bisexual girl who blows a guy and spits it in her cunt, she might get pregnant. That's like my most dangerous scenario. But it's the only way I can figure it happening. But, like, I went to Pride with her this year because I'm proud of her. And she marched by on the Chipotle float, so I got coupons. Like, yes, it's way easy to be proud now. But there were protesters there, and there always are, but one of them really caught my eye because he had a sign that said, "More gay marriage is going to lead to more molestation." Which is nonsense, because I was molested, and trust me, marriage was the last thing on that guy's mind. He did not want to make an honest man out of me. He wanted to see how much pre-cum he could get out of a 13-year-old cock before it started to hurt. I mean, it happened, so why not talk about it? There is a bunch of weird shit that was associated with that time in my life. Like it didn't start like that. He found me in the newspaper, which should have tipped me off immediately. Like, I was young. I didn't know that only creeps look for you in the newspaper. And he looked me up in the phone book. And, like, internet was a kind of a thing. So you didn't need to do that anymore. But I met him, and he was kind of retarded. Like, not retarded in, like, there are so many much more cooler kids I could hang out with, and I'm hanging out with a fat goth kid. Not like that kind of retarded. He was, like, the kind that he's missing a chromosome. Something's wrong with him. So, like, every time he jerked me off, I was worried that his freakish retard strength was going to kick in and he was going to rip my dick off. It made it so much hotter. But everything was ruined. Everything was ruined because, like, I got into drugs, so this became a specific, like, sex for drugs type thing, which made more sense to a lot of people when I told them about it. Like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It wasn't just you were a bored fat kid that wanted any attention. I can victim blame myself. It's fine. That's how feminism works. So I was over at his house one time, and he was putting together a model spaceship, because that's what he did when he wasn't molesting me. And I looked over at it, and I was like, hey, man, you see that airplane glue? You want to get fucked up? He's like, yeah, let's get fucked up. So we got fucked up. The next thing I know, his mom is shaking me awake because we're both passed out naked on his bed, and our dicks are tied together with a shoelace. So she kicked me out, and I was allowed over because I was too much of a degenerate to be molested by her son. Not the last time that happened to me, though. Like, I was really asking for it when I was a kid. I worked at a fucking Bob's Big Boy, not as the mascot, you dickheads. I had the body for it, but the overalls did not fit. But, like, I was the guy in the front of the house that sat everybody. But I would come in on my off days cross-dressing in full makeup with my friends to piss off the regulars. And this guy cornered me during a shift one time when I was taking the only employee that was mandated to take a break. It was my time. And he's like, you know what, kid? You got something special. How would you like to hang out with me after work, if you know what I'm saying? And I was like, this guy wants to give me drugs. Yes. And then he started rubbing his callous cook hands all over me. He's like, do you like it when I touch you like that? And I was like, yeah. I mean, stop. Stop it. He's like, is it because I'm black? That's when I learned I was a racist. The other guy was white. He got away with it. It's really weird when you tell people, like, that's the reason you're quitting. But they didn't do anything about it. Enough of my gay trauma. Let's move on to some straight trauma. There's a lot of trauma in this set. It's just how it goes. It happens a lot with me. I used to live in Akron. Like, the first apartment that I had that was mine was a basement just like this over on Buchtel Avenue. And I lived in a bit. Like, it was completely, like, covered in mildew, but it was $200 a month. So I was like, this is perfect. I had furniture made out of Papa John's boxes. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. And it was the first time in my life that I have ever heard a pretty white girl use the N-word in anger living in that apartment. So it was like, it really prepared me for life in Akron. I was really excited for it. But I lived in Fairlawn for a long time. And people are surprised by that when I say that some places. They're like, you don't look like you can afford it. But there were places that were $600 a month and you can get your kid into a nice school. So I recommend it. But, like, there are no Jews there. Like, none. They don't exist in Fairlawn. So one year, I had a bunch of people come to my house. They knocked on the door. I was like, Mr. Shear, you've been living in this neighborhood for 6 years, and for 6 years, you've had no Christmas lights. Why is that? Like, well, I'm Jewish. We really don't do Christmas lights. They're like, oh, no, we've been to Mark's. We know that there are Jewish Christmas lights. You're just too fucking cheap to put them up. That's what it is. So do something to show a little holiday spirit. All right. I went next door and I lit my neighbor's bush on fire. Nice piping hot Hanukkah bush. Oh, shit. How long have I been up here? Too long. Oh, no, not long enough. This is not the weirdest show I've ever done. Like, here's one of them. Tim Danko, I've known for a long time. That's why I talk about fucking him all the time, because that's how I show affection. That's why I don't have a lot of friends. But, like, we did a show at this biker bar that we didn't know was a biker bar when we booked it. Until we were sitting outside in another guy's car getting high, and a bunch of motorcycles pulled up with the same logo on it. We're like, fuck. Not only is this a biker bar, it's a crew, and I'm scared now. I said, everybody in the car. Until we got in there and found out it was an anti-racist biker gang. Yeah, the Strays. I had never heard of them before, but they were great. They said no jokes about race, which apparently included Jews, because they hated me. Jew is not a race, but whatever. It was a weird show until, like, after the show, the owner's wife came up to me and the feature act and started complimenting us on our soft hands and trying to get them, like, positioned over here. Well, the owner is staring at us, and he has a gun. So that is the first time I have ever spent $50 on a handful of chocolate penises so I could leave in peace. They had chocolate. It was the day before Easter. My kid had the best Easter ever. She got her Easter basket. I'm like, look, she has risen. Chocolate dicks are perfect because Jesus was black. Jesus was black and Jesus was gay. He was. He did not have 12 disciples. He had a harem. He was a black gay man in the time before AIDS. He had a lot of fun. A lot of it. Some of his miracles were rising people from the dead. Yeah. And he did it with his mouth. It's fine. It's the only more time I'll talk about religion, because I have weird opinions about it. But, like, the weirdest show I ever did was in a place called Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It was the Mental Ward. And it was one of those tourist trap bars that, like, had straight jackets on the back of the chairs. And I was like, thanks for appropriating my culture, assholes. But I wasn't. I didn't care that time. But they didn't have a full liquor license. They only had wine-based vodka. Have you ever had a wine-based vodka martini? It tastes like diabetic piss. I bet you're wondering how I know that. Some of you have already guessed, and I'm going to tell you. I like to go to the goth club to pick up overweight women because I can use the line, baby, you put the morbid in morbid obesity. And it worked. I got this girl to come back to the parking lot with me. Not to my car. I was still riding the bus. And I figured I was just going to bend her up against the value world and we were going to look at each other. But that's not what happened. She asked me the musical question, baby, can I sit on your face? At first, I was like, no, you can't sit on my face. You're going to break my nose. And I thought about it. I was like, you know, if she breaks my nose, I might pass out from the pain and come faster. So go right ahead. Have a seat. And there she is. This wonderful woman about to take her rightful place upon my beard. And she was like, take off my pants. And I did. And I peeled her leather pants off her like the most disgusting fruit roll-up you've ever seen in your life. And I noticed the most beautiful thing about her. Sure, clitoris looked exactly like a baby's dick. R.I.P. China. This joke's for you, baby girl. But she, like, there was a part in my brain was like, wait, this looks like a dick. Is this going to make me gay? And I'm like, no. If a lady had a clitoris like a big black dick, I would suck it. If somebody with nice enough tits came up to me with a dick, I would suck it. At least I know when they come. But right before she's about to make me question myself, she peed all over me, and it tastes like Amish dessert wine somebody left out in the sun. And now I can't come without watching squirter porn. With the very first thing that when I Googled it was some guy diddling my mom. I still came, because what? Shit like that happens to me a lot. Let's see. I think I will... I don't think you guys like me when I'm gay, but I'm going to do one more gay thing. Like, honestly, my sexuality is whatever makes you uncomfortable. So I do things. It can only be used as a weapon at this point. Nobody's trying to fuck the guy with bad teeth, so I don't care. But, like, this is a story of the first hand job I ever gave. I was living in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is kind of like nicer Akron. It is like a small college town with, like, you know, they keep their shit under wraps better. Like, they have a trailer park. That's where all the problems are. The rest of the neighborhood is fine. I hung out in that trailer park, and that's why I have these teeth. But, yeah, there was a lot of bad shit that happened out there. Like, I thought I was smarter than drugs because when I did meth, I didn't smoke it or shoot it up. That made me smart. It did not. It means I was able to get ripped off by a guy who sold me a bag of sugar. And there is no receipt, no return policy for that, so I had to fire him down 5 flights of stairs. And that's when I quit doing drugs for a while, because I was like, the first thought in my mind was like, oh no, I hope he's okay. It was like, I hope you fucking die, you ripoff. So I was like, I gotta stop doing this. This is making me too crazy. But I was at this dude's party. His name was Dr. Proctor, the militant homosexual. Great guy. It was the first time I've ever been to a party, and there were like 5 naked women talking to me, and it was about, what are you going to do after college? And I just figured this happened at all gay birthday parties. This is great. But, you know, the end of the night comes. This kid's really drunk. He needs a ride home. I'm like, yeah, fine, get in my car. And then he, like, gives me what I found out was, like, the universal mating call. I am so drunk. And his head rocketed towards my crotch. And I was like, there, there, kid. It's going to be okay. Like, trying to console him. He thought that meant go time. Because he started sucking on my neck. And by the end of it, it looked like I had tried to hang myself. Which, like, sometimes is a thing for me, so that's fine. But... I was like, no, stop it. And he's like, why? Do you have a big cock? And I was like, no, because I figure it's time to be honest. And honesty didn't work, because he's like, I don't care. I'm going to suck it. So he started undoing my pants. And I was like, stop. And he's like, why? I said, I have syphilis. He's like, oh, my God, I have so much respect for you right now. Like, why? Because I have an old-timey disease you can cure with a shot? I'm so punk rock, I can't afford to go to the doctor. That's why you have respect for me? He's like, well, I'm clean. And he took off his pants and put my hand upon his penis. And I was at an impasse because we were driving right by my work. The gas station where I work, third shift, it was third shift. Everybody was looking at me. So I couldn't throw him out of the car because they were like, oh, Jeremy Shear's done with this boy prostitute who's just discarded him on the side of the road like some sort of animal. So I proceeded to give him the worst hand job in the history of hand jobs. I went from slow to slower and was all near the bottom of his dick. All of it. And much like this story, that hand job had no climax. Done. Oh my God. So I think I can do this one, and then I will get out of here. I used to date a rugby player. She went to Denison. It was very cool. She was a sporting lass, but she had a bit of a hygiene problem for all that playing around outside. I went to do my duty as an ugly man and go down on her. Well, that is... Like, that's your job. Like, that's the one time she doesn't have to look at your face. So... She's like, baby, we can't do that tonight. I was like, why not? That's why I'm here. She's like, because I've got a yeast infection. And I was like, baby, that's not a yeast infection. That's athlete's twat. Now let's get to work. Guys, I'm telling you, if you spray enough Desinex on that shit, it tastes just like a Newport. Guys, can I be real with you? If there were more shows like this, like all the time, I wouldn't be moving to Denver. You guys have been amazing. Thank you very much.
Keep it going for Jeremy Shear. Keep it going for you guys. Hey, we got this donation jar. I'm going to be walking around with it and shit. This is how we're paying all these people and giving them some beer money and some gas money. Let's go smoke a cigarette, and then Kevin Cappy's going to play us some fucking music and shit. Let's hang up.
All right, for whoever's down here. Hey, everyone, how are you? Hey, tonight has been super fun already, but real quick, I really want to give the biggest applause and shout out to, of course, Lousy Weather Media. Thank you so much, Sean, Paul, Bob. Please give them a round of applause. This is so much fun. I've never been to a basement comedy show before, but I'm going to go to, well, this one again when it happens. So my name's Kevin. I play in a band called The Grievance Club from Kent, Ohio. And I'd like to play some songs for you, so sit back and use your ears. Thank you. Guitars are hard. Yeah. Guitars are hard, and sometimes they go out of tune, and sometimes you get pissed off about it, and that's like right now. So I'm having tons of fun tonight. Give it up for Jeremy, who just performed before me. Please, give it up for him real quick. I thought, to be personally honest, I thought I was the only Jew here. And now I feel like I have a brethren. And I feel at home now. The song's called Paper Bullet Theory.
Resolution, ill time for execution, but I will still do my best to be a better person, cause words are weightless, but hold the worth of network's damage, words with two faces. Being decent, hard to manage, talking to friends behind the backs of other ones. Just make sure you're taking turns each time you point the gun. But I'm thinking that heaven should break. I can't wear our crooked faces, then put on that their streak. We're all guilty in the game that we play. Why would it ever change? Oh, but we keep it off, and it's so easy when routine sets in without a second thought. Take your complaints and submit them to the grievance club. Circle jerk it to the rhythm of a broken drum. Talking to friends behind the backs of other ones. Just make sure you're taking turns each time you point the gun. But I'm thinking that heaven should break. Can wear our crooked faces, then put on that their street. We're all guilty in the game that we play. Why would it ever change? No. To friends behind the backs of other ones. Just make sure you're taking turns each time you point the gun. And it's how the system's run. But I'm thinking that habits should break. And kill where our crushed faces, then put on that their street. We're all guilty in the game that we play.
Over here.
Good try. Whoever tried to whistle, that was a really valiant effort, and I appreciate it.
Ah, fuck yeah! My set got the cops called? Fuck, how punk is that?
Done acoustic, and like I mean it when I say like the when things like this happen, when it's just like a small intimate group in a fucking basement, like that's where I feel like, you know, music and entertainment, like, where it really matters.
Yeah, let's get in. Just give yourself a round of applause, I guess. Thank you. I don't know how to come back from that. I just want to say thank you. Like, this has been a lot of, this is a lot of fun, and I really appreciate everyone sticking around.
I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna do the, yeah, I'm gonna do it. Okay. Fuck, I don't care.
All right, let's do, please sing along, because so I don't feel like an asshole. All
right.
And behind my back was ready to blow. Might hurt you, so try and be cool. And I say, this way is a water flood away from me that takes you further every day. So be cool. And say it ain't so. Good, oh, so I hear this bottle of Stevens Link wakens ancient demons like father, stepfather. The dirt is boiling in the day. Yeah, 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 yeah. Say it ain't so, oh, oh. Your drug is a heartbreaker. Fuck. Say it ain't so, oh, oh. My love is a life taker.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks a bunch. Thanks for indulging me in that fucking whatever that was. I'm just going to tune this hunk of wood real quick. Hunk of wood.
I get it.
So I think this is going to be my last one. Seriously, guys, thanks so much for sticking around. This has been tons of fun. Please give it up one more time for Lousy Weather Media. For Paul, please. Thank you, guys, seriously. Yeah, and shout out to the cops for leaving, I guess.
Really? That's pretty sick. I like that.
That's good.
Literally the ground. So seriously, guys, thanks a bunch. If you wanna, if you like anything you hear, you can just you can go to facebook.com/Grievance Club, whatever social media stuff. Or come talk to me. I seem shy at first, but trust me, I really want to get to know you. So yeah, seriously, thanks guys so much for sticking around. This has been tons of fun. Please give it up to all the comedians. Play real quick. And Bob, give it up to Bob Compardo over there for being a fucking doll. This song is called In Denial of the Rising Sun. Thanks guys so much for sticking around. As funny, the inevitability of what you said would never be. And now you think about the good times that you made and carved yourself more than me. Just to the light, I'd rather avoid a fight at the cost of my comfort. But I'll be waiting more than I spent when I die. Can't come closer when it's trying to mend. Strikes me as funny, the inevitability of what you said would never be. And now you spend the bulk of your days contradicting yourself to anyone who has the misfortune of being bored enough to listen. But it's shining through the window. Strive to void of light, half bearing on my mode. The light is changing my view. And it's shining. My view.
changing my view. Thanks, guys, so much for sticking around. I've been Kevin Cappy from the Grievance Club. Thanks, guys, so much.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production. Executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.